Hey y'all, it's your girl Stephanie of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and I just wanted to take some time to dedicate this episode to the life and legacy of Trey D of We Love Wrestling. We lost him last week, and I did mention this before, but his entire persona was supporting wrestling and wrestlers of all different backgrounds by being present and being authentic. And he will always be an inspiration to every Black wrestling creator from now until eternity. And my thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends that were the closest to him, and to every wrestler that he has touched, and to every creator that he has touched. And as he would say, if I love wrestling and you love wrestling, then we love wrestling. We love you, Trey. This is the Hardy Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Making her way to the mic. They start dimming the lights. You start feeling all right. From Birmingham, home of the Teddy Longs and the Ruben Studders. More once you discover. For all of the lovers, Whitney Houston and Roman Reigns. For all of the lovers, Mickey James and Marvin Gaye. For all of the lovers, and Sasha Banks, Janelle Monae, Silk, Sonic, and Paige. Allow me to say, look, I just found a place. Sweet escape for every one of us. I was kinda late, cause I just made it off the struggle bus. Walking by the faith, cause I know it's right in front of us. Yo, I ain't with the hate, gotta focus on what's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Hardy is on the air. Had to drop a couple bars just to make you all aware. So sit back, relax, enjoy the show. You know I go by Joe or the Resto.
Hey y'all, welcome, welcome, welcome to a new episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl Stephanie Hardy. Of course, if this isn't your first time joining the vibe, welcome back, welcome back. And of course, if this is your first time joining the vibe, whether it be live or a little bit later after this airs, thank you and welcome to HWP, the chill, positive, and passionate vibe for professional wrestling. Of course, I'm your girl Stephanie Hardy, host and creator of this fabulous platform, contributing writer for Daily DDT, as well as color commentator featured at promotions such as the Belladonna Division, Battle Club Pro, Black Girl Magic 2022, and Spartan Wrestling. And I'm also looking to add some more promotions to it as well. So if you need color commentary, book your girl, book your girl, book your girl. Of course, I am happy to be in front of you on this Monday evening. I hope you had a fabulous day, full of productivity and full of life and love and all of the right things that a Monday can be filled with. I know sometimes Mondays can be a little bit weird, but either way, we're all here. And of course, wherever you're watching from, I hope that you are having a fabulous day. And just thank you so much for all of the support and all of the love as I continue to grow this platform and continue to show love in this wrestling space. Your girl has had a crazy couple of days in the world of wrestling. Between so many other things and a lot of champions being crowned and so many other things going on in wrestling alongside with me, I'm going to stand here and really just talk about it because I, you know, feel that my platform and I'm the only person who can tell my story. So I'm definitely going to go into news and gossipish first, and I'm going to talk about what I loved in wrestling from this past week. But of course, I'm going to address some of the drama that did take place with me last week as well. I see Jabari McIntyre in the comments. Thank you so much for chiming in on Facebook, and thank all of you for watching from wherever you are. And for those who will watch this later, I appreciate you as well. So, of course, we're going to start with some headlines in professional wrestling. And that is, of course, the segment called News and Gossipish. And there was some stuff that did happen. It was a relatively tame week, but also at the same time, it was a really crazy week as well in the world of professional wrestling. So we're going to get into that here. So first off, we got to get into Mr. Drew McIntyre, who has re-signed with the WWE. And usually, you know, when we find out that a person has been re-signed, we find out in an interesting way or just via the dirt sheets or something like that. But in this go round, we found out that he was re-signed with WWE by order of Mr. TKO himself, The Rock. He actually posted a picture on Instagram of himself sharing a new sword with him, and also saying congratulations to everything that he has accomplished so far, and just giving him his props for re-signing. And it looked like he gave him this gift while he was at a restaurant with his wife, who is really pretty. And it was just really nice to see that, you know, The Rock actually gave him a gift to make him feel like, yo, like, it's great that you have re-signed, and that maybe, you know, The Rock could have celebrated with him, but he had some other food waiting on him. So either way, congratulations to Drew for re-signing with WWE and making that decision, because a lot of people, you know, were kind of trying to figure out, like, is he going to re-sign? Is he going to leave? And a lot of people, the fans were definitely being flamed from this past WrestleMania when he won the World Heavyweight title in front of a crowd like he had always wanted to do, but wound up losing via Damian Priest's Money in the Bank cash in. And a lot of people felt that since he wanted to be the top guy for so long, that if he wasn't going to be the top guy here, he was going to do it elsewhere and maybe leave. But as it turns out, he's not doing that. He seems like he's having the time of his life in WWE again. So, you know, he's not leaving. So big ups to him for re-signing. Also in contract news, we have Finn Balor announced on Twitter that he has been with WWE for over 10 years now, and that he is proud to announce that he has re-signed. So he is also having a good time with the company. He has decided to stay. And there were some fans on social media who were trying to come down on him for deciding to stay, because here again, people have it made up in their minds that their guy should be on top, you know, and so many different things. But this isn't exactly the same atmosphere that once was, when a lot of people felt unheard or weren't valued or stuff like that. So he has decided to stay. Drew has decided to stay. And of course, a couple of other people might decide to stay, but you hear again, you never know. But these are human beings, and they have the right to make whatever decision that they want to make for their lives. And if they decide that they want to stay with WWE, or if they decide they want to leave, they can do that too. Because ironically enough, a certain man who is the champion right now, and her man, their contracts are rumored to be up in a few months. And a lot of people are wondering if Seth and Becky will even come back. But, you know, it's all their decision. But either way, as long as these people are happy, that's all that matters. So big ups to Drew and Finn for those decisions. Also in news and gossipish, we have the news of our WWE Undisputed Champion Cody Rhodes being in a reboot of Naked Gun. Now, if you are of a certain age, you probably know what the Naked Gun movie was, and it was a comedy of sorts, right? But I had never seen it. I had only heard of it in passing, per se. But Cody Rhodes is set to make an appearance or make a cameo in the film. And it's really interesting how that news came after different pictures being revealed of Roman Reigns, the former Undisputed Champion, being on the set of different movies with the likes of Keke Palmer and other people like that. So it's looking like since this renaissance of WWE is taking place, a lot of the superstars are definitely getting into their Hollywood movie bag, and Cody Rhodes is one of them. So I think that's really great. I'm not entirely sure if I'll go see the Naked Gun movie when it comes out, but either way, I think it's cool that he's gonna, you know, try his hand in the Hollywood thing, just like so many other wrestlers have done, like John Cena, like The Rock, even like Terry Bollea / Hulk Hogan, and others have too. So hey, if the champion can get in on it, then we're living in a cool world. So big ups to him for that. Also, sadly, We had a number of releases in the world of WWE in the form of women like Xia Li. She was the only woman, I believe, who got released. And men like Trevor Lee, who was formerly known as Cameron Grimes, Jinder Mahal, Veer, and Sangha. And Von Wagner and Zion Quinn were also released as well. And it's never, ever cool whenever you see someone getting released or let go. Because losing your job is not a fun thing. That's something that I've been through a couple of times in my life. It is not fun at all. So I hate that this happened to them, and I hate that they cannot be benefactors of the Renaissance era that seems to make more room and be a little bit more organized for people. But a lot of rumors have been running rampant saying that one of the reasons as to why was because that some of these stars weren't as active or weren't being utilized as well. So I guess they just decided to let them go. And it makes me sad because when I think about Xia Li in particular, I remember the first time I saw her, it was in the Mae Young Classic, and she was the very first Chinese woman to ever be signed to WWE at that time. And then in terms of other representation, you had Indu Shear with Jinder Mahal, Veer, and Sangha. And now all of those figures that were prominent in terms of that community are gone now. And that literally sucks. Like, that really sucks. And now you don't have any on-screen personas that are under that give that form of representation anymore. And there has been a conversation historically about how WWE has treated Asian wrestlers in the past. But of course, I'm not equipped to fully have that conversation because I am not of that community. But as a woman of color, I do stand in solidarity with other people of color who want to be seen on higher platforms just like this. So it really does suck that they won't be able to be seen that way. But that doesn't mean that their careers are over, of course. Now, Trevor Lee, who was formerly known as Cameron Grimes, you know, in his video where he seemed very emotional about being let go from WWE, was talking a lot about how he's ready to prove himself and prove more of what he has to offer as a wrestler. And a lot of people were behind him, including Matt Hardy, who had a hand in training him in North Carolina and stuff. And he was in tears talking about it, but he seems ready to go out there, of course, everywhere else and prove that. And the thing that's beautiful about wrestling now is that what Corey Graves always says on his podcast is that a rising tide moves all ships. And when it comes to wrestling, it is hot everywhere you look. So no matter where these people decide to go or what they decide to do, they will be okay. They will be successful. And I'm manifesting that for all of those people right now, that all of them will be successful and they will find, you know, their footing regardless of what happens. And Malcolm in the chat saying, I hate that Xia got let go. I wish she got a push. Me too, because that storyline that she had where she was the protector, like that seemed really cool at first, but then somehow another day would switch her from heel to face and then back to heel again. And then you would go a while and not see her anymore. So it was just really awkward, but I'm hoping that all of those people can land on their feet in a meaningful way, and we could very well see them again in the wrestling ether, and that they just don't give up on themselves, because a lot of people struggle with that. So I hope they just don't give up at all. So moving from releases into the absolute wildest thing that possibly happened in wrestling this past week is the appearance of AEW CEO Tony Khan on the WWE draft. Not the WWE draft, the NFL draft, with a cast on his neck because he did get attacked this past Wednesday by the Young Bucks, Okada, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry in a segment that ended that episode of Dynamite this past Wednesday. He got attacked with a Meltzer driver, and he showed up on the draft wearing a cast. And the one thing that I appreciate is whenever people on TV dedicate themselves so much to what's going on the screen that even in real life they pop up and they're still very much dedicated to it. I thought this was really funny, not in a stupid way, but in a way that's just you're dedicated to the bit no matter what. I just love it because I'm a theater nerd, so it's just like to see him pop up in these two different places, you know, one at one place you're injured and in another place of work, you know, you're selling the injury. I actually appreciate that level of dedication that Tony had because he could have shown up with no cast on and it would have been weird. But either way, you know, he showed up with that. And of course, this is also feeding into something that I did hear that he is having camera crews follow him around for a documentary, which is sort of charting his journey of being an NFL guy who's a strategy officer over there, and then also working with AEW as a CEO so elsewhere too. So I appreciated his dedication to it. It was really interesting, and that's not the only interesting thing that he did last week as well. He showed up on NBC News and was talking, you know, to two other people at NBC about what he does with AEW and stuff. And he talked about how AEW is like the Pepsi of professional wrestling, but then compared WWE to the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling. Now, this caught a lot of people off guard because how do you go from Pepsi Harvey Weinstein? Now, usually in people's language, they kind of go from Pepsi to Coca-Cola because those sodas have been rivals for years. And when you compare one to the other, it's like one person prefers Coca-Cola, another person prefers Pepsi. I prefer both of them depending on what type of mood I'm in. But he went from zero to 5,000 with that comparison. And I know why he said that, because WWE here lately, outside of all the positivity that has been going on behind the scenes with the wrestling component, they're still dealing with the aftermath, but not even really the aftermath. They're still dealing with having a come to Jesus moment with the sexual assault allegations. And I'm sorry if this is triggering anyone, but they're dealing with the aftermath of that lawsuit with Vince McMahon and Janelle Grant in that aspect. And it's very public and it's really sad. But at the same time, Tony also has his issues within his company with people who have done some unsavory things with women as well. So it's almost like a glass house effect. Like, sweetheart, like everybody, you know, you're saying this as if you also don't have your own issues. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. But either way, I'm just going to need for everybody to just clean up their houses, respect people as a whole, but definitely respect women behind the scenes and in the offices as well. And, you know, just focus on the wrestling and focus on that part and just realize that all of these people are all human beings and respect them. Malcolm has a good question. Do you think AEW will get on the same level as WWE? The one thing that I will say to that question is the fact that they are definitely getting close when it comes to the level of exposure that they have. And I haven't really seen a promotion, not to say that other promotions have not existed, but I have not seen a promotion in recent years be almost on the same level of exposure that AEW has reached when it comes to WWE like this. And of course, when you can think of WCW back in the day and how they were close to being on the same level as WWF at the time, even airing, you know, back to back with each other. But AEW, you know, they can, but I feel like the only way that they will really get on the same level as them is if they only focus on themselves and not focus so hard on what everyone else is doing. I find that once they find who they truly are and really realize what makes them cool and stay focused on that and not be so focused on everybody else elsewhere, then they'll definitely rise more and more. And I want to see that because I feel that wrestling should just not be in one place. Wrestling should thrive everywhere. And there should be more than one place for people to go. That's what I really feel. Wrestling should thrive everywhere. And if people are going to need an alternative to go, if they don't want to go to another specific place, then they deserve to be in an atmosphere that helps their creativity rise and also helps them, you know, and also knows what it is and what it wants to be instead of focusing so hard on what other people are doing. You have to have tunnel vision to focus on what you're doing and not look off to the side and compare yourself to others, because that's dangerous. It's dangerous for humans, and it's also dangerous in companies too. So I feel like they will get on the same level, but only when they have that singular vision on themselves, because they have the talent. Like, there is so much talent there. They have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the talent in AEW. They really do. And it'll only continue to grow. But, you know, they just got to really hone in on what makes them special. And then it'll happen that way. Wade in the comments saying it's going to take a Stone Cold Rock hype level character for AEW to pull in that type of viewership. And I don't know. It just depends. But I don't know. It just depends. Michael, thank you for watching, saying there's a bunch of other issues they have there. Yeah, but I'm not going to get into that today. Yeah, I feel like they'll be okay for the most part, as long as they focus on what they've got. So yeah, big ups to Tony Khan for staying dedicated to the injury on screen for the NFL. Don't change up. So lastly, in news and gossipish, we have the Grizzle Young Vets making their appearance on AEW, I believe, Collision this week. They fought in a tag team match against the Acclaimed, who are former AEW tag team champions. They fought them and lost, sadly enough, but at the same time, you know, they had a good opening. They've also been featured in TNA since they left, or basically since they asked for their release from WWE, and they've been doing amazing things. They were actually one of my favorite tag teams in NXT and NXT UK. So to see them doing their own thing has been really cool. But I'm still hoping that they put those scarves on sale, because I do want a Grizzle Young Veteran scarf. I've always loved those. So the news is that no one really knows if they're officially signed to AEW as of yet, but I'm more than sure we will find out. And that report came from Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp. And I also want to send thoughts and prayers to him, because he did say that he lost a really dear family member on social media. So I do want to send thoughts and prayers to him with that. But yeah, he did report that no one knows exactly what their contract is going to be when it comes to AEW. But I am glad that they're still going around and wrestling as the soon to be recognized greatest tag team of all time. So big ups to them for that. Michael Bostic saying, oh, Tony Khan is selling. Yeah, he's selling it, and I appreciate that. So that's really all for news and gossipish. Pretty not light in terms of what's been happening, because of course people have, you know, lost their jobs and stuff, but light in terms of not as heavy as what's going on or whatever. So now we're going to move to a special segment where I'm going to talk about something that happened to me this past week, and also talking about the grander scale of what this means. So there have been people who have already talked about it on their platforms, but since this happened to me, I believe I deserve the right to actually address it in my own way, and hopefully you guys can go with me here. So, one thing historic that happened this past weekend in wrestling was at AEW Dynasty, they crowned a brand new AEW World Champion in the form of Swerve Strickland. And for those who may or may not know who he is, he was formerly with WWE as Isaiah Swerve Scott, who made his sort of debut, I believe, in a Cruiserweight Classic, and then he got signed to NXT, and he was on his own as a phenomenal wrestler. Like, he was definitely one of my favorites, and he also went on to have, he was the master, not the mastermind, but sort of like the front-facing member of Hit Row with B-Fab, Ashanti, The Adonis, and Top Dollar. And they were all really talented, but then they also got caught up in that WWE system and then they got let go. And then a number of them did get brought back, but then they all, then some of them got let go. And now B-Fab and Ashanti the Adonis are now the only two left. But Swerve Strickland went on to AEW and he's been doing lots of great things and he's been working hard. He's even had really hardcore matches with Hangman Adam Page that have been very critically acclaimed, I will say. And he has definitely been working hard, you know, over the past year to reach this point in his career. He is now the AEW World Champion and he is also the first Black AEW World Champion, which is something that I have been pushing for and advocating for a long period of time. I have wanted for so many people to like rise up and become the AEW World Champion because I thought at one point maybe Powerhouse Hobbs could be, maybe Keith Lee could have been, or even the absolute Ricky Starks could have been like the first Black ones. But it's Swerve, and that's a beautiful thing, and he's made history, and that is great, and I will never, ever, ever take that away from him. He worked his butt off for that, and now he's basically the face of the company and the face of the championship and all that that entails, and I give him all of his flowers for that, because I've seen how hard he works, you know, and he did that. Let me start with that. Now, after Dynasty went off, I shared a little bit of my opinion about Swerve Strickland via Twitter and said that he did work his butt off, you know, for this opportunity, but the road that he took to get here is bitter as hell. I can never forget how he walked all over Black people who were showing him love and chose to try to embarrass them. That still resonates. Fight me if you want. Hashtag AEW Dynasty. And for those who may not know what that was entailed or what that was about, it was about how 2 years ago with the BRP 50 with Black Wrestling, they tried to celebrate him on their list that they release every Juneteenth. And he tried to embarrass them on a public platform with Kazim on his other podcast that he had that's separate from The Ringer. And he basically embarrassed him and tried to talk trash about them. Because of the way that the list was done. And he might not have had all the information, but whatever, and he tried to disrespect them. And I didn't necessarily like that, and that made me feel a way because I personally know these people who created and crafted these lists, this list every year. It was just like, bro, like they're trying to celebrate you. Why are you taking it this way when it was meant to be this way? And I didn't like it, and it just seems like every other time he gets somewhere in public, he has a tendency to try to undercut his Blackness or undercut the people who could very well be celebrating him, like Black people, like Black wrestling, like Black women. Because at one point he was dancing to a rap song by someone else who said that their girlfriend was Black and ugly. And it just wasn't a good look. And that's what I was addressing in the tweet. And when I said, you know, fight me if you want, I wasn't saying actually fight me. I was saying, like, if you disagree with me, then we can talk about it. But somebody decided that they didn't want to talk about it and they took it to hell. Took it to a level that I was not expecting and didn't even know about until after it was almost over. So, somebody in the wrestling space who I had never met before in my life decided to go on Facebook after my tweet was shared by someone else in a Facebook group. Let me say that because I did not take the screenshot of the tweet. Someone else took a picture of the tweet and shared it to a Facebook group that I was in. And this person read the tweet and decided that he was going to fly off the handle in the comments. And he called me an angry Black woman. He said very unsavory and unkind things like F your spirit, you're toxic, and all of this other stuff. And he also proceeded to go on his own podcast live after AEW Dynasty went off and talk about how I'm, you know, just all of these unsavory names. But I didn't know that he was saying all this stuff about me on Facebook until people who love and defended me came to my defense. And they were telling me, I'm so sorry this is happening. I'm so sorry this is happening. And I'm having no clue what's going on. I didn't know what was happening. I was just like, huh? What do you mean? And they were telling me that this guy was saying all this negative stuff about me. And I was just shocked, number one. And number two, I was saddened about it. Because in this wrestling space, I understand that I keep a low profile a lot of the time outside of me posting about the work that I do, because I try to stay out of mess. Because wrestling Twitter and wrestling social media as a whole can be so messy at times, and it can just be so painful at times, the lengths of which people will go to prove a point, or the lengths that people will go to try to make it seem like your opinion is wrong and that you don't belong in this space and what you're saying is, because I don't agree with it, you're stupid, or your way of viewing things is invalid. And I try to just do my work, post my stuff, and just move on. But I felt moved to say what I wanted to say on Twitter. And maybe I shouldn't have said it, but either way, I said it and it's over now. And the tweet is still up because one of the hosts of said podcast, an old dude host, tried to come at me and ask me how come the tweet is not still up. But literally, if you scroll through, you can find it. The thing is, I tweet about other stuff too outside of wrestling, and it's so much stuff that you can't get through it. But at the same time, I kept it up there. I don't delete my things, like, unless I actually feel like deleting it, and I didn't delete that tweet. So yeah, and I did cry about it a bit too, because I don't pick fights. Like, I don't purposefully try to make people angry. Like, I don't do anything like that. Like, that's not how I move online, and that's not how I move in my wrestling work, and that's definitely not how I move in my real life either. Like, I do not pick fights with people. People usually try to pick fights with me for dumb reasons, and I just be sitting here like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not even trying to fight with you like that. But sometimes if you say something or if you speak your truth, there are certain people in life who just can't handle it, and then they just fly off the handle. I've been dealing with that a good bit throughout my life. And those who really, really know me know what that is. But it doesn't make it any less hurtful when it happens, because I love what I do so very much, and I don't try to step on anybody's toes. I just try to share my love for wrestling, talk about how much I love specific moments, and put my work out there because I'm trying to believe that this will get me somewhere. But this guy decided that he was just going to go off the hand and just talk about my spirit and, you know, say F me and F this and all this other stuff. And it was painful. I will say that, like, I cried about it. Like, it was just really bad, because I just know I don't do anything to anybody. So for you to not know me and make all of these assumptions about me off of this one tweet was just really insane. And I try to be strong a lot of the time, but there are some times where it really does kind of get to you. And yeah, it was very painful. But the beautiful part in all of this is that here again, I had people who showed up for me. I had people who showed up for me in such a crazy and authentic way that I can't even begin to thank them enough for it. One of them is my boyfriend. And even though he can't stand it when I talk about him or whatever, I love him so much because he has my back and he supports me in all of this wrestling stuff. He supports me using my voice. He, you know, gives me cool ideas. Like, he, you know, wraps his arms around me and he protects me, you know, in the moments where I'm trying to jump out and do other things because I'm a risk taker. And he's kind of like the one that says, wait a minute before you, like, he protects me and he came to my defense, number one. And I love him forever for that. Number two, I thank Stan and Hart from Talk of Champions because they were the first two who I know of who fully came to my defense and told me what was going on. I'm really grateful for them because, you know, they didn't have to do that, but they did in the way that they did. And I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for Michael, who's in the comments earlier. I'm grateful for him. Thank you. And I'm grateful for Eric and Randy from Backstage Brawl, who came to my defense as well. And just so many other people whose content that I enjoy, who came to my defense too. And also Katrina, my host for my fellow host for In Cat We Trust and Steph and Cat Talk WoW. Just everyone who fought for me and showed up in numbers to defend me. I'm just so grateful for y'all because I know I'm not perfect in the least bit, but at the same time, you guys think enough of me in that way to show up and defend me. Like, there are so many people who talk about defending me in that way, but there are a few people who actually do. And even though it was online, y'all actually did. And I'm so grateful for that. I am so happy that wrestling has given me a family outside of my other family of people who actually love me. And they show me that love, even though they're not even close to me. All these people live in New York and in other places, and I live in Alabama. But you would think that they live close to me the way that they were, you know, showing up for me. And what was so funny was something that kept coming up was the fact that old dude who was talking all that trash was just like, yo, like, I'm not on the New York train and all that. And everybody kept reiterating, she's not from New York. It was so funny. They're like, she's not even from New York. She's from Alabama. It's literally everywhere. And, you know, they think enough of me in that way to show up. And I'm just so grateful for y'all for loving on me, for encouraging me, for supporting my work and just being there for me. Like, I just can't even put into words how much it meant and how healing it was to know that people still have my back even after all this time. Y'all showed up like this.
Keep on back! Keep on back!
Keep on back!
Keep on back!
Keep on back!
Keep on back!
That's how y'all showed up. And I love it. I love it so much. And this isn't even the first time that people like that have shown up for me, because that happened a few months ago when all that other drama was taking place with WWT. Like, everybody still showed up in that way for me too. And I don't ask for people to do that for me. That's another thing. I don't have to, it's almost like I don't even have to ask. Like, you just do. And I'm just really grateful that now I can have peace in knowing that I don't have to operate a certain way in order to even get what I need from people that I love. It's like people can just show up because they care. And I'm just really grateful for y'all. Thank y'all so much. Thank you guys for showing up for me and for showing me love, because it can get real hard. And another bigger issue that I want to discuss is just women in wrestling media, period, just get attacked so much for just sharing our words and our thoughts the same exact way that men do, but yet don't get half as much crap for. And it's so ridiculous. Like, even this past week, Queen of the Ring, Alex, was talking about how on one of her broadcasts that she did, somebody said something negative to her. And I'm just like, what do you gain from saying something negative about a woman and calling a woman a name because she says something that you don't like? That doesn't change anything about her. It says a lot about you. And honestly, it may have knocked me down a bit. And it may have made me upset. But don't no one person stop no show. And I have 3 shows to take care of. I have a writing career to take care of. I have so much to live for, even outside of wrestling, that just doesn't get stopped out here. So you may try with all your might to kind of come against me and whatever, but you don't know me. And I'm so sorry that you can't get to know me because you decided to come out and be mean or whatever. But at the end of the day, don't no one person stop no show. And Stephanie Hardy has a lot to do. And I have a lot to work for. So, yeah. I'm here. I'm still here. And as long as wrestling is here, I'm going to be here. And ain't nobody going to stop that. But thank you to my family. I love y'all, like, so much. Like, you don't understand. I love y'all so much. So, yeah. Vaughn in the comments, thank you for watching, saying if you don't like Stephanie Hardy, you don't like yourself. And yeah. So, not saying that I'm perfect, but at the same time, you know, I don't try to fight anybody. But either way, I'm just really grateful for those who fight for me. So, yeah. That's the end of that. Let's just not be disrespectful to women who are sharing their opinions about wrestling, because this is not just a man's world. Women are out here doing the dang thing in wrestling, and we're not just here to look cute or to just perform and all this other stuff. We are here to move the needle, okay? Okay. And if you don't like it, then find another fandom. So, moving forward, we're going to go to what I liked in wrestling this past week. And there is so much that happened that I do want to give love and praise to, because, oh my God, so many great things happened. One of them being Willow Nightingale winning the TBS championship at AEW Dynasty. Speaking of more history being made, Miss Ma'am Willow, who I've had the honor and privilege of meeting and commentating for at Black Girl Magic in 2022 when she was tagging with Brooke Valentine, won the TBS title from Julia Hart and the House of Black. And she definitely deserved this high profile win because she's been working her butt off in AEW since she got signed. She's been tagging with Chris Statlander. She won the Women's Owen Hart Cup. She even won the New Japan. She was the inaugural New Japan Strong Women's Champion. And now she has won this championship that's been held by great people such as Jade Cargill, such as Julia Hart, such as Chris Statlander, and so many others. I am just so happy for her. I'm so happy for her. And just watching her have this victory just meant the world to me. I was just so thrilled. I was like, look at you, girl. You got this title. You won it. A champion is you. And I am just so, so, so proud of her. And yeah, this is me and them backstage at Black Girl Magic. I hope that somehow or another Black Girl Magic happens. But either way, I am just so thrilled for her. And I'm just so glad that she won this title. And now she's about to get into a high profile, hot, hot, hot feud with the CEO and the GOAT, Mercedes Moné. And that's really great. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But congratulations to Willow, because, girl, you've been working your butt off and you deserve it. But we're going to get into that a little bit more later. So another thing I liked in wrestling this past week was the Women's Royal Rumble. Well, not the Women's Royal Rumble. I'm sorry. The Battle Royal that took place on Monday Night Raw for the vacant Women's World Championship. Now, of course, this was vacant due to an injury sustained by Rhea Ripley, and how, you know, she had to give it up because she can't defend it because she's going to be out for a couple of months, which is so sad, and we definitely wish her the very best in her recovery. But I just had to talk about this one moment right here where Aja is holding up the title, doing her amazing Ref Bay things, and then you have Nia posing in front of the camera right next to the title, like, girl, I'm here,
what? And it was just so funny. I was just like, girl, what are you doing? Like, you look fierce as heck, but what exactly are you doing posing like this? I don't think I've ever seen any superstar, man or woman, pose like this while the ref is holding the title in my entire time of watching wrestling until she did it. And it was just so funny. I'm just like, Nia, never change. She is the living diva, and this is her world, and we're just living in it. It was just really funny. And of course, in this battle royal, as Nia Jax performed and tried to destroy Becky Lynch in a very spiteful manner by slamming her into the commentary desk and even picking up Piper Niven and slamming her into Becky Lynch, the man came out on top in her WrestleMania gear and won the women's world title. So here we are, and she is the second ever champion, because of course Rhea held on to that title for over a year, and now here she is, and she is the champion. Now, I did see a lot of people on social media have some discourse about Becky winning this title, about who they would have preferred to win over Becky, like a Liv Morgan, or like Nia Jax, or like a Candice LeRae, or so many other newer people that could have won, like even maybe a Shayna Baszler. And all of those thoughts are incredibly valid, and they're right about it. However, I would never go as far as to calling Becky Lynch Becky Hogan, because why? I don't think she's the type of person who would try to, oh, well, I'm going to put myself over everybody else, to the detriment of other people. She is not that person, because it's been made public, even in her book, that she advocated for Bianca Belair to have her moment after she beat her in 26 seconds at SummerSlam in 2021. So the idea of her, you know, booking herself or wanting herself to be in the forefront as champion to the detriment of other people just didn't make any sense to me at all. If anything, you know, since she is a champion because she is a four horsewoman, you know, this raises the stakes a little bit more for people, you know, to have a moment against her. Basically, kind of like she did with the NXT women's title last year when she won and fought women who had never had an opportunity at that title before on Raw and NXT. And then she wound up ultimately dropping it to Lyra Valkyria. Like, if anything, it's going to make for greater opportunities for other women too. And she is an icon out here in these streets. So I did not have an issue with Becky Lynch winning this title. I'm here for it. I'm okay with it. You know, she's on a run right now. People are definitely having their eyes on her now that her book has been out and it's a number one bestseller for the New York Times. So I'm okay with Becky Lynch holding the title. I'm okay with that. And then that only means that if she holds the title for a long period of time, you know, and if Rhea comes back, they get to have a rematch from their WrestleMania bout, or her and Liv Morgan can cook some more matches as well. So I'm okay with it. I'm fine. Congratulations to Becky. And I just loved how she went out into the crowd and actually held up a sign that a fan brought that said, "Women run the WWE." Because this main evented Raw. So this was cool for me. I was just like, okay. Because at first I was kind of wondering, like, what are they going to do? They haven't told us what they're going to do with this championship now that it's been vacated. What's about to happen? But they made it make sense, and that's all I asked for. So it was cool. Also, I love that Becky had a moment with Maxine Dupri on Raw, because earlier in the episode, Maxine was talked down to by Chad Gable, who, of course, has just turned a whole nother negative leaf since he lost to Sami Zayn for the IC title. And he talked down to the entirety of Alpha Academy, and he called Maxine Dupri dumb as a box of rocks, which is so horrible, because she's been with them and she's been training and trying to get better at wrestling. And even in real life, you've had people online talking about how trash she is as a wrestler and talking down to her and stuff like that. But at the same time, she's been trying to get better, because even she will tell you herself that she was not the person. She did not start as a wrestler, but she's trying to get better. And the thing is, why are we coming down so hard on her for it? And Becky had this moment and told her, you go out there in that battle royal and you tell and you let those people know why this will not be your last time fighting for a championship. And I thought that was so poignant and so good and just so sweet. We need more women uplifting each other on camera in a big way like this. And I just really appreciated it. So this was cool. Also, I enjoyed the promo between Jey Uso and the World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest, because of course they have their match coming up this Saturday at Backlash. And the thing that I enjoyed the very most was Jey Uso looking at Damian Priest with a straight face and saying, when you see Rhea Ripley, tell her I said, ha. And I was just like, oh my God, that's so funny and yet so nasty at the same time. Which led me to think, what would happen if Jey Uso and Rhea Ripley were an on-screen couple? Wouldn't that be hot? That would be kind of hot. Because I feel like the Rhea and Dominic stuff has sort of cooled off a little bit. So if Rhea comes back and her and Dominic don't work out, then I'm going to need for Jey and Rhea to actually be an on-screen couple somehow. Because I just feel like that will work. I feel like he would just worship her and she would just bask in it somehow. And it would just be like the most ungodly opposites attract kind of coupledom on the planet. But we just got to wait and see. But I just thought that was really funny. And I did see that some people didn't necessarily like Jey Uso's promo or whatever, or his, you know, style where people can say yeet in the middle of everything, of every time he stops. But I actually like it because not only do you get, you know, crowd participation, but you also get, you know, him and his intense level and his intense cadence of cutting a promo. When he's cutting a promo, you just know that he absolutely means it, him and his brother. But of course, you know, his brother got into some trouble with the Bloodline 2.0. So we gonna leave that alone. But I feel like Jey and Damian Priest are gonna have a good match this weekend at Backlash. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. But I'm gonna need for Jey and Rhea to actually be a couple on screen. That's gonna be fun. Also, another thing that I loved about Raw from this past week was the fact that the New Day finally got a fair and square win over Imperium. Now, mind you, Imperium is falling apart as we know it, but I just want the New Day to actually get more wins as a tag team, because it seems like here lately they have been on the struggle bus, and I don't like it because they are, of course, you know, one of the most decorated tag teams of all time and probably one of the most decorated factions of all time at this point. They are, in my opinion, the greatest faction in all of professional wrestling. And yes, we can argue about it, but not actually fight about it. we can argue about it, you know, at a later time. But the New Day really is up there in that upper echelon of factions. And so the idea of them, you know, as a duo, having to lose so many times just breaks my heart. I'm just like, yo, like, when is the New Day really going to have a moment in the sun again? And I know it's different because Big E isn't, you know, active with them anymore. But at the same time, like, I just still want the New Day, Kofi and Xavier, to get more of their things. And yes, Xavier did say that he intends on, you know, going for the King of the Ring again, which I do appreciate because that was really one of his biggest dreams. But I want him to go after something so much bigger. I want him to challenge for the World Heavyweight title at some point because I just want him to have a top title. Like, Xavier works so hard and he is so good and he's so underrated. And I don't want him to be underrated anymore. I want him to be on top, okay? Virgos have to stick together and I need him to be on top like all top tier September 4th born Virgos are, okay? I just need him to have some more. And I want Kofi to have like maybe one more run, you know, at a title again before he decides to wrap it up. I just don't want to see them lose so much. So I just want more for the New Day at this point. And them winning last week was just a good breath of fresh air because, yo, they're the New Day. And yes, you can fall on them winning so many titles, you know, as an excuse for them not being on top right now. But I don't know. I just want more for them because those are just my boys and I just love them. So, yeah. Moving into NXT Spring Breakin', night one, we have Jada Parker, and she had a match against Fallon Henley because they got into it backstage. And Jada Parker is definitely someone who is growing a lot more the more we see her wrestle. And she even got into it with Zoe Stark, who wanted to call her out for her offense in which she uses her hips. And my thing is, we have got to stop coming. Something that I just don't like is when people be coming after folks for using their hips in the ring. Like, it's not a bad thing. I literally feel like if nobody questioned Rikishi for using his booty for years, then why are we questioning women who are doing it? Like, let these women do it. Let Lola Vice live, let Jada Parker live, and let Naomi live, because it doesn't make you any less of an athlete just because you got all these hips and you're proud of it. Be bootylicious, okay? And that's cool. I mean, yeah, men are going to look regardless and women are going to look regardless. So you might as well use it, right? So it's not like they're being forced, like back in the day, to use their assets to gain people's attention. They're using it and they're having the autonomy to use it themselves, which is what equality is. So my thing is, don't come down on these women for using their hips. And Jada Parker is bootylicious and it's beautiful, okay? And I just loved how she won her match against Fallon Henley, but then she was losing her ponytail, so she snatched it off and said, I don't even need it. I don't even need it. And I was just like, yes. Yes. This is what being a Black woman is about. When you have hair, but then it's falling out, you just got to snatch it out and just do what you're going to do. And she looked amazing without it. And she kept saying, I don't even need it. And that's right. You don't need it. Because you went out there and you did the dang thing. So big ups to Jada Parker for her growth. And don't let nobody come down on you for your bootyliciousness, because it's amazing. So, yeah. Another thing that I liked on NXT Spring Break and Night 1 was the promo between Lola and Natalya for their NXT Underground match, which is happening tomorrow night. I am so happy that here again, we're making more history when it comes to women's wrestling and that these two women get to do this in the underground. Like, I'm really happy about that. And this promo was just really heated between the both of them. And I enjoy that a whole lot more because, of course, you're used to getting a lot of heated promos, you know, from the men. But when you get it from the women and it's substantial and it's great and it's fact-based, you just have a juicy steak that you get to bite into, and it's great. And these women definitely did that. Lola did not back down from Natty, who is, of course, a veteran at this point. And Natty told her, like, look, you may have been famous in MMA, girl, but I got my stripes in the dungeon, okay? Word to Stu Hart, okay? I got down in the dungeon. And if you can make it through the dungeon, you can make it through anything. And she told her that, but Lola was like, look, just because I shake my ass, forgive me for saying that, doesn't mean that I can't kick your ass. And I was just like, girl, yes, I liked it. And then Lola went on to reveal that Shayna Baszler is going to be in her corner for the NXT Underground match tomorrow night. And I thought that was cool because, I mean, keep up with the continuity of MMA people. Shayna Baszler is the baddest woman in WWE because she tapped out Ronda Rousey and sent her packing. So it just makes sense. It just all makes sense and it all clicks because these are MMA girls going up against, you know, martial arts / wrestling girls in the form of Carmen Petrovic, and then you have Natty there. So I'm really excited about this match. I can't wait to see what these women are going to do. But I love this promo. Like, if you go back and watch it, it's really intense and I just really liked it. So it was really cool. Malcolm in the comments is saying, speaking of the tag team titles, what's your take of them splitting the belts? And do you see Cody Rhodes bringing back the WWE Classic Eagle belt? See, Malcolm, the funny part about that is that Cody actually mentioned that on Pat McAfee when they were still in Philadelphia after he won. And I feel like maybe if he talks to the right people, they could bring back the winged eagle belt. But I'm just not sure, you know, you just never know, because that title that he has now is very corporate and it has the logo in the middle and you know it's WWE when you see it immediately, right? But that might not necessarily be the case with the winged eagle because not a lot of people in the mainstream know that. But I wouldn't blame them if they did bring it back, because as a wrestling fan who loves belts, I mean, hey, bring it back if you want to. But I guess you just have to wait and see. But I wouldn't mind it if they did. And I like that they split the belts, because it's not like everybody's, like, there's one team holding on to all of the belts and there's no confusion as to who can challenge for what. I like that they split the belts, and I like the designs of the belts too. But I definitely love the SmackDown tag belts more, because it reminds me of my childhood a bit. It reminds me a lot of the belts that the Hardys held, and, you know, Edge and Christian held and stuff like that. So I like the newer designs. So thank you for asking that question. And I do like they've split them up, because that just gives more opportunity to everybody. So it's cool. But yeah, thank you for that question. Also, Sol Ruka is someone. Sol Sister Ruka is somebody who I really have my eye on when it comes to NXT. And I'm so happy that she had such a great performance in the Beach Brawl match with Blair Davenport, who injured her and was responsible for her being out for so long. And I'm really glad that she was able to get the upper hand on Blair Davenport, who can just be so tough. And Sol Ruka's finisher, the Sol Snatcher, is one of the best finishers I've ever seen. Like, it gives me the first time I saw the Sol Snatcher executed by her, it gave me the same exact feeling I felt when I saw Athena hit the Eclipse for the first time. And I saw it live. I was gagged. Because who in the world was doing a stunner from the top rope, flying from the top rope and then hitting a stunner? Who? That just gagged me. And that's the same way I felt about the Sol Snatcher. And I am just so happy, you know, that she is growing more and she's not, you know, letting Blair Davenport just bully her and stuff like that. And she beat her up with all of the beach things, with the, you know, pool, with the picnic table. They broke the picnic table. Like, it was just really lit. And I really enjoyed this match. And then when this part came on and Sol Ruka started surfing, she was giving this. Surfboard. I just had to put that there, because she be surfing, and I just liked it. So, and then the fact, you know, that she's a Black woman and she's interested in stuff like that, it's just really cool, because, you know, we're all not monoliths. So to see her, you know, be in her beach vibe and just doing stuff like that, it's just really amazing. So big ups to her for winning the Beach Brawl match. And she's definitely one of my favorites to win the brand new NXT Women's North American title. But we got to see how they're going to put that into perspective. And maybe we'll figure that out tomorrow or just in the coming weeks. But either way, I love Sol Ruka. This is a Sol Ruka stan account, and I just can't wait to see what else she does. And of course, we got to give props to Trick Williams. Yes, y'all. Trick Williams. Whoop that Trick. He is the NXT champion. Oh my God. I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for him, because just to get deeper into like my whole wrestling bag, it's just, I remember interviewing the Miasma Zach Ramesses, who is a wrestler, you know, in the New York area. And he talked about his journey of having his tryout at NXT with Trick and Carmelo and Braun. And it's just, you know, even though he didn't necessarily make it in that class, it's just thinking about the fact that all of them was right there together. If you haven't seen that interview that I did with Zach Ramesses, please go back and watch it. It was a great interview, a great conversation. And I'm hoping that he's still doing great things in the indies and stuff. But just the idea that all of them came up together and they're, and all three of those men, Braun, Carmelo, and Trick, have held the NXT title, it's just amazing to me. I love Trick Williams so much. I have always loved him. You know, when he was with Carmelo and he was all about it with him, and they just had this comedic vibe and this form of friendship that was just so authentic. You know, it was just so real and just so amazing to see Black friendship, you know, portrayed in that way. And then of course, when they split up, it broke your heart, but I knew Carmelo did it the whole time, but you know, whatever. And then to see him rise with that and to see them both make history as the first Black main event during WrestleMania weekend and him winning in Philadelphia and me seeing that. And then now with him winning the title, it's just amazing. And throughout the episode, you had people weighing in on who they felt was going to win that championship match between him and Ilya Dragunov. And kudos to Ilya, you know, he actually had a great substantial reign and stuff like that. But, you know, it was time for him to let it go. And he let it go to Trick, and I'm so happy about that. And I'm so happy that a lot of people were really here for Trick Williams winning the title. So I'm just like, oh my God, this is so great. And when Trick won, the whole place was shaking. The camera had to hold on for its life because everybody was so happy for him. And I just love that. And I just love how authentic he is, and even how before he even went out for the match, he was on the phone with his mama, who had been dealing with some health issues. And, you know, his mama told him, like, you just go out there and you just, you know, do your best and whoop that Trick. And I was just like, bro, that had me feeling all kinds of emotional, because there is nothing like talking to your mama before you about to go and do a big thing. Because when your mama believes in you, you feel like there's nothing you can't do. And that just made, and that's just the feels that it gave me. And Trick Williams won. And I'm just so happy for him. Like, I'm so happy for him. And what's so funny is Carmelo, who is now in a new place in his career, he posted a picture of him dapping up Trick Williams the first time Trick was on TV with Samantha Irvin, you know, and it was just so emotional. And I was just so happy. I was just like, look at you, Trick. Look at you. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy for him. I feel like I keep saying that over and over again, but I really am happy for him. So, you know, it's great. It's great things. We have so many Black champions, and it's normal, and it's just beautiful, and I just can't deal with it. But congratulations to Trick Williams. We love you. I love you so much. It's so great. So, speaking of more Black champions, moving into what I liked about Dynamite this past Wednesday, I loved the celebration and the promo that Willow Nightingale cut on Mercedes Moné. Now, it's easy to think that somebody with the cachet and with the clout that Mercedes Moné has as a four horsewoman and as someone who's made so much history in wrestling over the past 10 years, it's easy to think that somebody would be intimidated and get ate up by her or whatever, but not Willow. Willow is someone who consistently rises to the occasion and lets you know that I am meant to be here for this purpose. And while she was celebrating having won the title, of course, Mercedes came out there and she spoke her piece about how she feels like Willow is responsible for her losing months off of her career because of their match at New Japan Resurgence for the strong title in that tournament. Now, of course, if you watch the match before that, you know that stuff was different, but either way, in terms of storyline purposes, Mercedes was like, look, you are the reason why I lost months off of my career. And Willow was like, look, I'm really sorry because I felt guilty about that, you know, for a while, but this I don't feel guilty about. And she held up the TBS title and she told her, look, I belong here. And if you want to come at me for the TBS title, you know, we can go for it and we can do it. And I love that promo. Willow is just so eloquent. She's a fantastic babyface. You just want to believe in her no matter what. And Mercedes is just the GOAT. She's just the GOAT. And of course, if you want to hear more of what I had to say about their match at New Japan Resurgence from last year, you can go to my Mercedes Moné series on YouTube or listen to that episode audio-wise with the Hardy Wrestling Podcast and listen to what I had to say about that match before. But either way, because that match main evented Resurgence and because of how grand of a person and a persona that Mercedes Moné is and how Willow is proving to be that star to rise up to that, I feel like this match needs to main event Double or Nothing next month. It just needs to. It has to, because I just don't see anything else, even though there are people who can probably argue it a lot better than I can as to who could main event Double or Nothing. I want Mercedes and Willow to main event it and be the first two Black women to main event, you know, an AEW pay-per-view. Make some more history. Make it happen, you know, like, Come on, just do it. And I'll have more to say about that a little bit later in another platform. But this just gave me life, and I just appreciated it. And I just love Willow's growth. Another thing I loved was Caprice Coleman being there and singing for Willow's celebration, even though you really couldn't hear it that well because they were having sound issues. But if you are a Ring of Honor fan, you know that Caprice Coleman be giving all kinds of vibes when Willow Nightingale be out there. He's either going to sing or he's either going to rap her out there. And it's just so cool. And I was so happy that they did that for her celebration on a big platform like that. And then you got Taz in the back just chilling or whatever, just letting it happen. But I'm just like, nah, Caprice is in his bag. Dance or something. But either way, I was happy about that. And I was so happy to have actually met him at Wale Mania. He was very chill and all of that. But I'm such a huge fan of him. You know, I love him as a commentator. And I was absolutely gagged when I found out he was a wrestler, too. I was just like, okay, cool. You know, I just love it. So big ups to him for being on Dynamite and getting to sing the song, because it was cool. And yeah, Tony Khan got attacked. He got attacked on Dynamite, and it was really insane watching it happen in like real time. Because it just looked like, well, Jack Perry, of course, came back at the very beginning of the episode with the Young Bucks and with Okada and whatnot. And so he had been gone for a long period of time due to his suspension, and we ain't got to get into that. and, you know, he's back and he's making it seem like he wants to make amends with Tony Khan after everything that happened. But then he turned his face around and was like, And he led the attack on Tony Khan, beat him with a microphone. And like I said, in news and gossipish, he got Meltzer drivered. And yeah, he's got a bad neck now. And that was crazy. So I guess this is a hostile takeover of AEW. I guess Matthew and Nicholas are taking over one Dynamite at a time. And there won't be a CEO. It'll just be the EVPs, and the only CEO will be Mercedes. But either way, this was crazy to witness. Like, I never thought I would see Tony Khan really take a bump. Like, I just never thought that would happen. But he did, and he's holding on to it with the neck brace and everything. Like, he's dedicated himself to it. So, hey, you can't knock it. You really can't knock it. But another part about this that really upset me, though, was when one of the Young Bucks, the one who had on a purple suit, ripped it. And I was just like, no, because the purple suit was so cute. And he ripped it, and I was just like, dang. But I guess he probably doesn't care because he has money. So he can probably buy a new one. But it just made me sad. I was just like, oh, that suit, it's ripped. No, it's gone. No. But yeah, that was interesting. And now we move into what I liked about SmackDown. And of course, this past SmackDown was night one of the WWE draft. And y'all, the EST is now the first est overall drafted to SmackDown. She was number one. And as she said on Instagram, she's number one. She's the only one. And I was just like, you better quote Beyonce, girl. She is the number one all-around draft pick. And you would venture to think that it wouldn't be too hard to think that maybe Roman Reigns probably would have been number one, but he pulled himself out of the draft because I guess he is just in too bad of a funk from losing at WrestleMania. And I guess he's just in his own little vibe or whatever, but he pulled himself out of the draft. And for a minute, it looked like the Bloodline wasn't going to get drafted until later on in the show. And they did. But yeah, Bianca Belair is number one, and she made some more history in that regard. I believe she's either one of the first women, if not the first woman, to ever be drafted number one in the draft. And it was just really cool to see that happen for her. And they had all her credentials up there. It was just so beautiful. And she just continues to make the history that she's manifested for herself, and even with her Bloodline. Like, she just continues to raise the bar for women in wrestling. And I'm just so proud of her. She was number one. She's the only one. And there's nobody like her. There's nobody doing it like Bianca Belair. She's the first est, and that's all you could ask for. And I'm just so happy and proud of her forever. Another thing I liked in terms of the women on SmackDown was the fact that Nia Jax got drafted to SmackDown. She's never really had like a big presence on SmackDown. She's been on Raw for such a long period of time, and it'll be really interesting to see what she does on the SmackDown brand. Like, I'm really excited about it. And she's already made her splash over there on the Blue brand by attacking Bayley while she was on commentary for Naomi and Tiffany Stratton's match. She attacked everybody and basically made her presence felt there. And yeah, like, for all we know, maybe she could be in a fatal four-way, but they made it official for Backlash. It's going to be a triple threat match between Bayley, Naomi, and Tiffany Stratton. So yeah, but either way, I'm excited that Nia Jax gets to do new things with the women over on SmackDown, because she has been doing her thing on Raw. But it'll be good to see her over on the Blue brand. So big ups to Nia for that. I liked it. And another thing I loved in terms of the women and their presence in the draft was the fact that Tori Wilson and Michelle McCool got to announce in one of the rounds for the draft. And as happy as I was to see Tori Wilson stand next to Michelle McCool, I just can't help but feel that maybe it would have been better if a Dawn Marie had showed up, because Tori Wilson and Dawn Marie was like one of the biggest rivalries in terms of women's wrestling, even though they weren't fully like wrestling back then during the Ruthless Aggression era. They fought so much, and I just would kill to see them on screen together again. But that would also require for WWE to kind of put out there that they weren't necessarily taken as seriously. And that would just be weird. But at the same time, I guess because I remember it, so it was like a core childhood memory for me, I just kind of would have wanted that. But either way, it was still cool to see Tori again and Michelle McCool again. So they look really happy to be there to be announcing stuff for the draft. So it's cool. And then, of course, you have Kiana James being drafted to Raw. Now, there were only two names called when it came to NXT, and the other one I'm going to get to in a minute. But Kiana James was the second, and she was the very, I believe, last one. And she was a shock draft. Nobody was expecting this. Nobody on social media was expecting this at all. But the fact that she did get drafted was absolutely amazing. Of course, she is a former NXT Women's Tag Team Champion with Fallon Henley. She was signed with NXT in 2022, and she has her signature moves called the 401k and the Deal Breaker. She is such a talented woman. I love watching her in the ring as well, especially if you go back and look at that very first Iron Survivor match they had. She was definitely like a star, a key part in how good that match was for the women. And she is just so talented, and I can't wait to see what she does on Raw now. Like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. And something that has been coming up since she got drafted is that there's been this weird discourse about her and her lineage of her background in terms of her racial background. And yes, she is a Black woman. She is a mixed Black woman. And yeah, why are we arguing about that? Why? Find something else to fight about. Please. Leave this girl alone. Stop digging up old tweets from way back when she was a kid and didn't know any better, and just let her be successful. Let Kiana be successful. But then again, she'll be successful whether y'all have anything to say about it or not. But either way, just leave her alone and stop being weird, okay? Congratulations to Kiana James. You're cool. You're on Raw, and that's amazing. So, yeah. Now we get to the other name from NXT that was called to be drafted, and that is Carmelo Hayes. Mr. Mello himself. Money Mello, him, the former NXT champion, former two-time NXT North American champion, the last cruiserweight champion, the breakout tournament winner, and all around just him, is now on the Blue brand. And when I tell you, I was in the kitchen making dinner when this part of the draft was going on. And when they called his name, I ran out of the kitchen and said, thank you, Jesus, he got drafted, because I was hoping and praying he was going to get drafted for SmackDown. And he did, and I was so happy. I was like, yes, yes, Carmelo. I am so proud of him. And when he came out, he had his new his music and everything, and he had him on the Titantron or whatever. It was a vibe. And I was just like, yes, Carmelo, yes. And then the crowd in Cincinnati, Ohio, shout out to them, was chanting, whoop that trick, whoop that trick. And Carmelo said, I already did. And I was like, oh. And then he took it a step further and challenged Cody Rhodes, because Mr. Man loves to shoot his shot. And he loves to say, when I shoot, I don't miss. And he shot his shot at the champion on his first night on SmackDown. You just can't write a better story than that. Imagine being this young and all of your dreams are coming true and you challenge the man on top. You challenge the son of the man who created the brand that you made yours in NXT. This is what you do, and you get put in the main event of the blue brand. What? That's just crazy. And I'm just so happy for him. And then on top of that, he was number two of getting drafted to SmackDown under Bianca Belair, which gave me a feeling and gave me vibes from when Black Wrestling last year labeled him as number two in terms of Black wrestlers on top, and then had Bianca Belair as number one. And when I tweeted at them about it Friday night, they were just like, that wasn't a prediction, it was a spoiler. And I was like, yes, y'all better own that, because y'all really did predict them being back and forth like that. And it's just so amazing. And I'm just so happy, because Carmelo is so talented, and he's so young, and he's so authentic. Like the same thing I mentioned for Trick Williams. And Trick even gave him his props, you know, when they interviewed him online. And it was just really cool. So maybe at some point in the future, for all we know, maybe they could reunite. Maybe. That is if, of course, Trick and Carmelo are just superstars and they're all on their own. And that's cool to be on top like that as superstars. But maybe one day they can work out their issues and realize that they're better together than apart, and then they'll make it work. I don't know. But either way, I'm just so happy for the both of them, considering they both started together and now look at where they're at. One is the champion in NXT, and the other one is on SmackDown challenging Cody Rhodes. And yes, Carmelo might have lost, but he still did the dang thing. And that just proves that he has a lot of great stuff in store. A lot of people are pushing for him to possibly challenge Logan Paul for the United States Championship. I would be okay with that, considering Logan Paul was one half of the people who tried to take his spot from him in the Royal Rumble when him and Ricochet did that flying, when they bounced off of the rope and ran into each other the same way Carmelo and Ricochet did at Worlds Collide. I would not have a problem with them fighting and with Carmelo taking the title off of him. I'd love it. Please fight Logan Paul. But either way, congratulations to Carmelo for getting drafted to SmackDown. I'm so happy. I am so happy. I'm so happy. And then another part I enjoyed about SmackDown was, of course, the appearance of Teddy Long, Big Bama Energy, WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long, showing up and announcing some stuff for the draft, and even booking a tag team match with Nick Aldis, who called him the GOAT, and I love that. So it's always good to see Teddy Long on my television. So, of course, if you haven't watched my interview with Teddy Long from back in the day, please go to the YouTube channel and watch it. It was such an honor to have him on there, seeing as we're both from Birmingham, and it just meant the world. So please go and watch that interview. But it was just really good to see him again. Let me holla at your player. Like, I love it. So this is a Teddy Long stan account. We love him. And lastly, when it comes to SmackDown, they are celebrating 25 years of SmackDown, because this year marks 25 years of SmackDown has existed as its own entity. Outside of Raw being an amazing show, the Blue Brand has been out here, you know, doing the dang thing, giving all kinds of amazing moments. So to celebrate that, they released a limited edition replica title to celebrate SmackDown 25. And I just love the title so much because it looked like the spinner title that John Cena made famous, and it was so beautiful, and it's blue, and I love the color blue, and I love SmackDown because that's the show that comes to Birmingham the absolute most, and I feel like if I had this title, I would match it with my SmackDown jacket and buy like a SmackDown t-shirt and just be SmackDown out with an outfit. But it is limited to just 175, so I'm not sure if I'll ever get it at this point right now. But either way, it's a beautiful title, and I was just so happy when they released it because I was just like, oh my God, a SmackDown title, I love it. So maybe they'll have mercy on people like me and just continue to sell it and just wait for people to get their bands up so they can get it because I want it real bad. But it's so beautiful, and I love that it's a spinner title too, because that's definitely an icon of SmackDown lore. And I just love it. And then on the back they have the SmackDown fist from the old Titantron, and I just love that. So I'm just a nostalgia freak. Big ups to Cal from Black Wrestling for that. I am a nostalgia freak and I love stuff like that. So maybe if either one of you guys love me, maybe you can buy me this belt. But if I love myself, I'll try to get the belt for myself. But either way, I love that they made this title because it's beautiful and I love it. And I love championship titles. So yeah, I loved it. And also to end this episode, I have to say that Thunder Rosa fought Deonna Purrazzo on an episode of Rampage, which came on Saturday instead of Friday due to sporting. And Thunder Rosa did something that was very heartfelt, and she paid tribute to Trey D from We Love Wrestling. And of course, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we lost him last week unexpectedly. And he touched a lot of wrestlers' lives, including Thunder Rosa, who is the creator of Mission Pro Wrestling. And because Trey was such an avid supporter of women's wrestling, he was at those shows a whole lot. And after Thunder Rosa won her match against Deonna, she looked inside of the camera and said, "I love wrestling, you love wrestling, then we love wrestling." And I thought that was so beautiful because she didn't have to do that, you know, because people, you know, are on television and there's only so much time that people might have. But the fact that she took her time to pay tribute to Trey in that way was just such a beautiful thing. And I just love that. I'm glad that she did that. And there have been so many other tributes that people have done that have been very heartfelt and beautiful, with balloons and with so many other things that have been said. And of course, I'm sure more will come out, but I'm just really happy that Thunder Rosa took time to do that live on television. So rest in peace to Trey D, and we're definitely going to keep the vibes going when it comes to loving wrestling for you and for the love of the game. So thank you, Thunder Rosa, for that. That was special, and that was really sweet of you to do. So yeah, that's all I liked in wrestling this past week. And of course, if you want to support me, continue to support me and all of my wrestling careers, please know that you can find me on Instagram and X/Twitter at Queen Steph Hardy, and DM me about any type of shows that you might want to do. Like I said, I am a host, I am a writer, and a color commentator, and a panelist. So if you want me to do a wrestling panel for a convention, like a Comic-Con or something, or a wrestling convention, or if you want to book me for a wrestling show, you can just also email me at HardyWrestlingPodcast@gmail.com or DM me at either one of those places on Instagram and on Twitter. And also follow me on TikTok at Stephanie_Hardy. I have lots of content there as well, so please support that. And just, you know, continue to support the vibe and me and my wrestling career and all the places that I might pop up or show up or whatever. I'm just trying to grow more and do more in the wrestling space and just be a light, a consistent light there. So just continue to support me in that. And also, please listen and watch Steph and Kat Talk WoW on me and Katrina's YouTube channels, on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast and In Cat We Trust. That is our WoW Superheroes post show that we do every week. We just did a double dose episode where we talked about the last two episodes that happened and not the one that aired this past weekend. So please check that episode out, and also check out all of our interviews that we have done for Black History Month and Women's History Month as well with some of the Wild Girls. We love, love, love women of wrestling, and we love showing them our support. So please check that out. And if you see me posting clips about that show, share them, retweet them, talk about it, be about it, all of the things, show up and support, because we are definitely getting ourselves out there when it comes to WOW and all of the above. So I'm really happy that we do the show together and talk about women's wrestling in that way. So please continue to support Steph and Cat Talk WOW as it continues to grow. And of course, check out all of my writings on dailyddt.com. My latest writing, my latest article, let me make it bigger so y'all can see, was called WrestleMelanin, the Blackest WrestleMania Ever. And of course, since I was in Philadelphia, I was around so much Black excellence from Big E's Big Brunch, the first ever one, to just being in WrestleMania, around all the things as a whole. There was just so much Black excellence that took place in Philadelphia, and I write about it. So if you have not read that article, please read it, or please share it with so many other people who like to read things about wrestling, and be on the lookout for more articles that I'm, you know, creating and cooking as I have free time to do so. I'm really grateful for Daily DDT and Raphael for letting me cook and letting me write and grow as a writer in this space, because this is like my 11th article, I think. So just continue to support me in my writing, John. I'm so happy about it. And of course, if you have not purchased any Hardy Wrestling Podcast merchandise, I do have that at foryourwear.com/Hardy Wrestling Podcast. I have a Bianca and Montez love t-shirt called Beyontez. So if you want to celebrate the love that they share with each other, or of course, if you are a huge fan of their Hulu series, Love and WWE, Bianca and Montez, please buy this t-shirt. It's available in all sizes, and it's only available in the color black, but you can buy it and rock it. And I would really appreciate it if you did purchase it, as well as purchase my Alabama wrestling t-shirt, because of course, I'm from the state of Alabama, and there's been so much wrestling history and so many wrestling icons that have come from my great home state. So if you want to wear something that's really interesting in terms of wrestling merch and something quirky and cool, buy the Alabama wrestling t-shirt or hoodie, you know, and you can get them in either the colors of black or red. And it has so many amazing icons like Sensational Sherry, who did just have a Dark Side of the Ring episode, Teddy Long, who I previously mentioned, Kayla Braxton, Paul Bearer, AQA, Fuego del Sol, and Deborah. So please buy that t-shirt, and it does have the Hardy Wrestling Podcast logo on the back of it. So please support your merch. Go support your girl by buying some merch on foryourwear.com/Hardy Wrestling Podcast. I'm trying to think, do I have anything else? No, I don't have anything else to advertise at this point. So of course, thank you guys so much for watching and listening to this episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. And of course, I might be coming up with something new to do, like with HWP Extra. I might have a new episode of that coming down the pipe, because stuff has happened that I do want to talk about. So please be on the lookout for that, and just continue to follow all socials. Follow the Hardy Wrestling Podcast on Instagram at Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and on Twitter at Hardy Wrestle Pod. And just continue to support your girl as I'm out here making changes and just sharing my voice and speaking my truth to power in the wrestling space. Hey, Charmaine, I saw you yesterday on Steph and Cat Talk WOW. It's good to meet you. I'm glad you're on here watching my show, even though it's ending. But of course, you can go back and watch it on my YouTube channel and listen to it anywhere you get audio podcasts as well. So of course, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl, Stephanie Hardy. And until next time, bye, y'all.